are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today it is Friday, April 2nd, 2021. On the show today, Corbett Kosak joins me to discuss the news that Chris Beard is taking the Texas basketball job. We discuss the rumors about Porter Mosier potentially going to Oklahoma and where Texas Tech goes from here. We also make some Final Four picks as well. I think you guys will enjoy today's episode.
Yeah, we can do this.
All right, let's do it. All right, 3, 2, and 1. Well, I thought we would just be previewing the Final Four today, but it's not going to be just that. We've got a whole lot to talk about today on Locked On Big 12 Podcast. My name is Josh Neighbors. Joining me is Corbett Kosak. Corbett, yesterday, you know, I do Locked On Nationals. I was gearing up for opening day. I was sending out tweets about the live locker room event I was doing, you know, audio chat room type thing. And then I get hit with the Roy Williams news. Then we get the Chris Beard news. Then I get the news Washington Nationals game gets postponed. I forget what order they were in, but they're all in about half an hour of each other. So a whole lot of scrambling. I wanted to record this earlier than we did, but we're doing it now and just kind of wrapping it in and do our Final Four preview. But Chris Del Conte gets his man. Chris Beard is going to be the next head coach at the University of Texas. Your first reactions when you saw the news?
My first reaction was, I mean, obviously, wow, I think just about any, but just like, you know, everyone else. If I'm a Texas Tech fan right now, I mean, this is a level of betrayal that you don't come back from. I mean, he was on the verge of signing like a lifetime contract to be Texas Tech's basketball coach. Like, and I mean, he's done like the first everything of value in the history of the program as their head coach. And then, I know he has some ties to Texas, but to just up and leave for, you know, the school down the road after, you know, being on the precipice of making it another Sweet 16, I mean, great for Texas. But, I mean, I looked at it more from the victim's point of view than I have from Texas's point of view. But that's just crazy how it worked out.
I understand what you're saying, but I disagree with it in the sense of this. Look, he gave you 5 great years. You were close to winning a national championship. And if the ball bounces differently, if Kyle Guy misses a free throw, you know, there's no ill will here, right? Because they're national champion. There's none. There's no ill will if he leaves.
As someone who's experienced one championship in their lifetime as a fan, if Joe Maddon had left the Cubs to go coach the Cardinals voluntarily, wasn't even fired, that would be a big deal. Like, what you do, it's not even that he got fired and then hired. He voluntarily left Texas Tech to go to the school right down the road.
Where he went to school, though. It's where he went to school. That's what, you know.
I get that aspect. I'm saying that if I'm Texas Tech fans, I'm never getting over this, at least not in the near future.
I mean, you know, what was the line that Bear Bryant had? When mama calls, right? When mama calls, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say no. And
it had a very big, if you can't beat them, join them vibe.
I don't know if that's the case.
And when they're not necessarily in that aspect, it's just like, I mean, Texas Tech has long been little brother in everything. And
yes,
you left little brother to go fight for the giant army.
But here's the thing is that's where he went to school. That's where he got his coaching.
No, and I understand all of that. I get it's all different. Of that. I mean,
let me put it like this. That Texas job, that what Texas has accomplished as a basketball program, they have been far short of what they could accomplish, right? Under Shaka, and you can argue under Rick Barnes, they have not accomplished the things that are possible at Texas, which is really, to be honest, winning a national championship is possible. This roster they had was good enough, you and I both agreed, to make a Final Four with the amount of NBA talent and experience they had on that team. They had the guys to make the Final Four and they didn't. I think when Chris Beard sees the place that he went to school and the place that he's got his coaching start, and they say, you have this job, this is your challenge. And this really is the next challenge for him because look, Texas Tech, you know, a lot was possible there. Yeah. Maybe winning a national championship was something he wanted to do, but there's nothing left to prove there at Texas Tech. to me, what he had proved, I mean, he's proved something that's beyond Texas Tech. He's proved that winning basketball games at basically every Power Five school in America is possible. If you can build a winning basketball program in Lubbock, Texas, if you can get the Jarrett Culvers and Jamias Ramseys, if you can get those five-star players, if you can get transfers like Chris Clark and Marco Santos Silva, who are, you know, I'm not saying they're these excellent players, but they're the kind of glue guy you bring in to help a championship team because of what they do for you. If you can get Mac McClung's to come to your school, you've proven your point. Now the next step for you, it logically for me, is to go somewhere, and for him, go, it was one of two things. Either he stays at Tech, and when the NBA comes calling, that's where he was going to go next. Or I think this is the next phase of his career is, I'm going to build Texas into a championship program. Because if I'm transfers now and I see what he has done, I want to go play for that guy. I mean, his players rave about him. He is an excellent coach. He is quite the character. And he wins wherever he goes. And the players seem to like him wherever he goes. This makes a lot of sense. I get it. Kirby Hokut, the Texas Tech athletic director, was upset yesterday, and I understand why. But he said this was not because of money, and that's the deal. Is that this is not a knock on Texas Tech. This is just home for Texas, and I don't know if people are really understanding the personal challenge that I believe this is for Chris Beard. I believe this is personal for him.
And yeah. I completely understand it from his point of view, and it makes a lot of sense from a business point of view for Texas. I just was coming to it with the, I feel pretty shafted if I'm Texas Tech.
Fine. But you have to see it from his perspective.
Chris Beard, and obviously, you know, they'll move on and whatever. But I mean, I think as far as like a career move, this is definitely a step up in like legacy, I guess you would say, for Chris Beard. Like there's history with the program. All of that's well and good. I just was looking at it from the fact that Texas Tech has every right to be upset. Chris Beard has every right to leave. And it is just shocking when you see a coach that is as synonymous with a program as Chris Beard is with Texas Tech up and leave. What else is weird is you've had a lot of programs, Indiana for one. I believe Minnesota has signed another head coach. You've had a lot of big programs that have already been in the market for new head coaches for a little bit now. And Chris Beard kind of late in the, you know, firing coaches carousel up and leaves for Texas. It's just interesting the way it worked out.
Yeah. And there's some talk about maybe one of his assistants being hired. I don't know. He's offered, I believe, all of his assistants a chance to come and go to him with Texas. And, you know, I forget the guy's name. He's the creator of that no middle defense they played. I don't know if he's going to take the job, the assistant job at Texas, but look, Texas Tech down Kirby Hokut. They've got an excellent arena. The United Supermarkets Arena is an excellent arena. It is, in my opinion, by far the second best home court advantage. Talked about this yesterday in Big 12 today. It's besides Allen Fieldhouse, when that place is rocking, it's rocking. That's a great arena. It's a place that you've proved you can win. And so I believe now, like, they're in a good position. I actually thought if Porter Moser wanted the place to go to, and we'll get to Porter Moser here in a second. If he wanted the place to go to, Texas Tech was actually a pretty good fit, in my opinion, for the Power Five. Like, that's a good place where, you can coach, like, you know, you have an identity, right? I mean, that defense was – Chris Beard was the identity, really. But that defense was their identity, right? The no middle defense – is their calling card. It's what made them, during their championship run. Look, it wasn't the offense lighting the world on fire, right? You know what I mean? That defense is the reason why they're in that game with UVA. And so I look at that, and I think that this is not a bad job. Texas Tech fans, like, you guys now have an expectation of winning there. You guys want to win. Texas Tech started to feel like a basketball school. But you've got an opportunity to go out and get another good coach. Here's
not
the thing.
Not entirely to the credit of the basketball program either. But I just
had, is that a shot at Matt Wells?
Throw that little dig in there. But what another take I've seen on this, which I find to be completely false, is the fact that there's a short leash on these coaches at Texas. So the last three, really, for-profit programs that have been coached that or coaches that have coached either the football program or the men's basketball program have been Charlie Strong, who was about to be fired for like 18 straight seasons, Tom Herman, who was allowed to stay there way too long, and then Shaka Smart, who didn't win a single NCAA tournament game in six seasons and probably was not going to be fired had he not left for Marquette. I think the leash is as long as it might have been at Texas Tech. And obviously for the fans, I think that it's kind of, I wouldn't say like the clock's ticking on like, when are we gonna be in the Final Four again? Because you have the coach, you're not going to have to pull a kid's arm to try and get them to come to Texas. Like you might have at Texas Tech when you know, it's a big deal when you're recruiting these five stars. Texas, obviously not a basketball blue blood, but I don't think any kid's going to look at Texas and be like, no, just because of Texas. So the clock's kind of ticking for, you know, when are they going to be, you know, nationally relevant every single year again?
Here's another big part of this conversation is that I actually think the leash is a little shorter, because here's the deal. Chris Beard, there's a good chance that Chris Beard is going to make more money than Steve Sarkisian. The head basketball coach at Texas is going to make more money than the head football coach at Texas. I mean, up is down, like black is white. Corbett, did you ever think there could be a situation where that's true? Because right now he's paid $4 million. You could say whatever you want. Sark, you know, might have taken a bit of a pay cut to make sure that his assistant pool money and pay cut. I mean, I forget what he's making, what, for four, somewhere around $4 million. So the let's just double check on that. So he could, around five. So he took a little bit of pay cut from what was possible, so he could get more money for his assistants. But besides that, like that point notwithstanding, there's a chance Chris Beard's the highest paid coach at Texas. And that would mean, I mean, that comes a lot of expectations. And look, I believe that Chris Beard is one of the best, I truly believe, college or NBA. I truly believe that Chris Beard is and is going to continue to be one of the best basketball coaches, period, on the planet. Whether it be in the ABA, the NCAA, you know, TTU, UT, whatever the initials are, whatever the place is, whatever the league is, this guy's expected to win. He's won. He's going to be expected to win. The stakes are high now. The stakes are high. Interesting.
I think he might have himself a short leash, like voluntarily, because I don't know if the NBA comes calling how long he plans on being at Texas. So, he just up and left. Obviously, he's gone to school at Texas. But, you know, if a job opens in the NBA and he finds it appetizing, he would really like to win that national championship sooner rather than later. So,
he takes that Texas job with the idea of leaving the NBA the next 5 years.
I think he might. If he does everything he came to do, I don't know why he.
Here's what's really interesting, Corbett, is that it's almost like now that, I mean, the number of games that matter for him at Texas are very few, right? Because the games in November matter, the games in December matter, January, March, they matter a little bit, right? Like that Big 12 championship game, that matters, I guess. But the real ones matter when that field of 68 gets set. Like he's going to be judged on
that's when he's the best. So
right, I mean, but here's the thing: is we know a lot of coaches, right? I mean, Alon Kruger had his fair share of first and second round exits, right? You know, a lot of coaches do. It's hard to win NCAA tournament games. Chris Beard is going to be judged at Texas off of those games in the NCAA tournament. That is where judgment is going to come. Because we saw it with Shaka this year, right? I mean, you can't be, you know, you can't be embarrassed. Now, on the other side of the coin, you know, that's Texas Tech team that at times, Corey, we saw struggle a lot this year, right? And what do they do in their first round game against Utah State? They handled Utah State, and against Arkansas Elite Eight team, you know, they came to play. I mean, they were so close to winning that basketball game and coming back and winning. That Utah State game and that Arkansas game, that is what Texas fans need to see. They're not going to be judged on Big 12 tournament, right? You know, if you're in the field, all right, great. Those are the games we want to win now, right? Those are the games that they want to win. And that's a problem. We know the deal. We know with Rick Barnes was he has lost to a 1-12 seed now in the NCAA tournament. And a lot of those seeds he lost to when he was at Texas. Shaka Smart. Obviously, the Paul Jesperson game, you know, you can argue that he got a little bit unlucky with that game, right? You know, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
They played Nevada. Was that was the, what, 20?
Yeah, I mean, they had like a 14-point second half lead against Nevada.
It might have been more than that. And then, obviously, now the Abilene Christian game. You know, they're all embarrassing in their own way. They're all bad in their own way. And the goal now is to win those games. And look, that should be the expectation. That's a fair expectation now at Texas.
Yeah, the underlying problem with the Shaka Smart thing too is the fact that he got his job solely based on a 5-game run with VCU in the NCAA tournament, and then he goes 6 years without winning a game in the NCAA tournament with Texas. So that's kind of just how he got there. But yeah, I mean, Chris Beard is more capable and more equipped to win NCAA tournament games than just about any other coach in the country. He's done it repeatedly over the last 5 years, and Texas fans should be super excited about this. Shaka Smart was as like blah of a coach. Like I don't think they hated him. They might have hated him because that's what Texas fans do, but I don't think he's horrible. He's perfect for Marquette. Let's put it like that.
Today's show is also brought to you by betonline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is long gone, but right now we are in the heart of basketball season for the NBA and college hoops. NHL is in full swing, and here comes baseball as well. Also, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on, for a 50% deposit bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. He'd mentioned that it was great. Shaka did. It was great to be at a school like Marquette, right, where basketball was first. I will say now, though.
Basketball might be first now.
I'm not saying it's first. It's never going to be first at Texas. Because Kirby Hokut made a comment yesterday. He said, look, I look forward to playing them at Texas, and there's more Texas Tech fans there. Look. And as we're doing this, Bill Self just signed a lifetime deal at KU. So they're locking Bill Self in. So he is now going to be stuck.
Something about that 30-point loss to USC really got him.
I think they're going to make Bill make sure he's cleaning up that mess that he's made right now in terms of recruiting, right? Those violations are coming down the pike.
Is he going to leave for North Carolina?
Well, I mean, I think let's talk more about the Texas Tech job probably next week, right? Just kind of as things, they might even have a coach before the end of the week. The one job I want to get to is according to 24/7 Sports over there. Porter Mosier is the leading candidate at Oklahoma. This, I mean, if Joe Castiglione pulls this off, that is such a coup. I mean, if he was, it would be able to go and get Porter Mosier and from Loyola Chicago, I think that would be a great hire, because the way Porter Mosier coaches is that it requires a certain kind of player, right? Your commitment has to be there on the defensive end with, like Chris Beard, right? They play a certain defense, but he also made exceptions for offensive players, right? Mac McClung was not out there to get stops. Now, when Mac didn't score as much, they had, they had kind of adjusted and said, hey, look, man, we can't have you out. And honestly, maybe he should have done it earlier. You know, you can't have Mac out there if he's not scoring and not playing great defense. But the point being here is, Oklahoma is a program that would give Porter Mosier some time, I think, to build. Because, I mean, Corbett, you've seen how they play. Constructing that kind of team takes very specific personnel, right? To have a bunch of guards around a center, to run so much offense off of a guy at the top of the circle, right? I mean, when Loyola initiates their offense, they feed the ball to the top of the circle, right? And then they run guys off. They run cutters. They run, handoff type stuff. They run back cuts and kind of, Cameron Crutwig becomes their almost Pau Gasol, right? Kind of holding that ball up there, looking for guys cutting back. And so if you want to build that kind of offense, it takes time to get the right personnel. And at Oklahoma, I definitely believe that if they got a guy like Porter Mosier and they saw what he built at Loyola, they would give him some time. So I think that's a perfect fit. And I think that's one hell of a counter to the news that we saw today, or yesterday rather, with Texas.
Yeah. It's really interesting because there's been this, I don't know that it's been outwardly spoken, but there's been this underlying, like, everybody believes it thing here around Chicago. Obviously, I grew up, live 90 miles from Chicago. And, you know, we get all Chicago sports talk radio. And one of the things that people seem to assume is that he would never leave or would choose not to leave Chicago if given the option. Born and raised in Naperville, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. The farthest he really has gone to is to play at Creighton. He's been an assistant at Illinois, or he was a head coach of Illinois State for 5 years. Been at Loyola Chicago for a or 11 seasons now. It's interesting to see that he would be this interested in that job, especially when the DePaul job is like three doors down from his house and is still available.
That job sucks.
Oklahoma's probably going. What was that?
That job sucks.
Oh, the job. Well, the job sucks in the aspect of where the program is at currently. Yes, the Oklahoma job, much better than that job. There's also the Northwestern job where they just refuse to fire Chris Collins no matter how bad they are, which is right down the street as well. But I think based on what I know, or what we think we know about Porter Moser and his love for Chicago, Oklahoma is likely making him an offer that he absolutely cannot refuse to go there. I think it's a great hire for Oklahoma, especially, you know, like, it's like the military term, proportional response, where, you know, your rival does something, so you have to do something that sends a message that, you know, you're right there too. When Texas goes out and gets Chris Beard after their head coaching opening, Oklahoma, you know that they're watching that with bated breath. Now they're going to go out and they have to make a move similar in stature to that move, or you know, it's not going to sit there with their fan base. I think Porter Moser is a home run hire for Oklahoma if they get it done. And like I said, they're probably going to pay him $1 billion to come there, because I think that's what it might take to get him to leave Northern Illinois.
And here's the thing, too. Grant McCaslin from North Texas is also rumored to be another one of the candidates they're looking at right now. And look, I think if you ask 10 out of 10 Oklahoma fans, they all say Porter Moser first. I mean, this is no disrespect to Grant McCaslin, but that's just kind of the pecking order right now. I mean, that Porter Moser is seen as the hottest commodity on the market, especially with Chris Beard gone. And look, Chris Beard was on the market in the sense that it only felt like there was one place he was going, right? I mean, it's either the league or he's going to Texas, and he's at Texas now. So if Oklahoma was able to pull off a kind of move. Now, I would say your Grant McCaslins, your Paul Mills, those are guys I'd look at for the Texas Tech job, right? And those are the kind of guys you think that makes a lot of sense, that, you know, kind of, and especially North Texas, you know, being the same state and able to pull a guy like that, that would make a lot of sense, right? Kind of almost a Grant McCaslin to Texas Tech almost kind of reminds you of a Chris Beard from Little Rock to, you know, to go to Texas Tech. So I definitely think that, and just, you know, North Texas too, another one of those teams that has a defensive identity. They play like a 1-3-1 type deal situation. They kind of play. I think they play they play a 1-3-1, very, very much identity driven.
It's always interesting to see how a 4-game, 5-game spurt like makes a coach millions of dollars. It's Grant McCaslin, right?
Yeah.
Grant McCaslin at North Texas, obviously Davion Hamm with their like fifth year senior point guard. They were underdogs in the semifinal game of the Conference USA tournament. They were then underdogs in the final game against Charles Bassey, the big man from Western Kentucky, obviously underdogs against Purdue. So, like, he was so good at his job at North Texas that he was an underdog in the semifinal game of his conference tournament. Now, they won these games, but, like, it's just Porter Moser has done this 3 or 4 years in a row where they're really good. They were underdogs when they lost to Bradley and missed out on the tournament in 2019. They were huge favorites when they lost that game to Bradley and allowed them to get in the tournament. They were going to be a top 10 seed again. Loyola was, and then they do it again this year. They would have gotten in as an at large bid had they, I think Missouri State was the team they beat in the Missouri Valley Championship game. I just feel like what he's done is more consistent. It feels like North Texas caught lightning in a bottle, kind of like what it felt with Loyola a couple years ago. It's a great hire, but I don't know that he's done anything at North Texas that any coach could luck into, you know, if so, given enough chances.
Let me counter that. So he's coached at three places: Midwestern State in Division II, and he made 2 Elite Eights. He won 30 and 25 games there. He went to Arkansas State. He won 20 games there. And then at North Texas, in 4 years there, he has won 20 games every single season, except this year when he took his team to the NCAA tournament. As a head coach, he's 153 and 75. as at North Texas, 78 and 51, 61% winning percentage, and 57% winning percentage in his in conference tournaments. In postseasons, he's also very good. Obviously, in the Division II tournament, making two Elite Eights is very good. He, as a player, Corbett, went to Baylor. He played there for 4 years. He was an assistant at Baylor. He was the director of operations at Texas Tech very early, as in kind of an athletic director role, back in 1999, 2001. So he is only 44 years old. This is somebody that has obviously clear ties to the state of Texas. This is somebody that, you know, obviously, you know, he's kind of tied to this area, right? And I mean, yeah, you can say what you want. Yes, caught lightning in the bottle, but he's won at least 20 games where he's been. So,
and that's, I mean, obviously
44 years old.
And he's one of those guys. He's won at every level, right? So like everywhere he's gone, he's won.
I know this year might be
Oklahoma fans, I think, are going to be a lot happier with Porter Moser, but obviously that's not always what, I mean, that's obviously not what always determines where programs end up in the long run. It's just, it's interesting to see because I think after the Chris Beard hiring at Texas, Oklahoma is going to feel like they need to make this home run higher, and I'm not sure that Grant McCaslin is going to feel like that to the fans. Well,
actually, no, I'm kind of pointing towards Texas Tech. That kind of feels like the right fit.
Well, I mean, he's been there before. He's probably the best in-state candidate that they can get to replace Chris Beard. And Texas is weird. It was its own country for 9 years. It still acts like it is. And, I mean, that's just it's a Texas thing. I don't get it. I live in Indiana.
There's one more job that's open, UNC, right? I mean, you know, let's not – and I know it's not
– didn't they mention they're going to hire one of the assistants, one of two of Roy Williams' assistants?
So – no, I don't think that's the case because the big, you know, they mentioned yesterday that they do want, I believe they said they do want experience. They do want head coaching experience was, I believe, what the athletic director said. So, Bubba Cunningham. Yeah, Bubba Cunningham is the guy. Look, is the athletic director. Look, I think the clear choice for me here is Wes Miller. You know, because I actually had somebody text me yesterday. I think the Roy Williams stuff was first. And right when Roy retired, somebody is like, Chris Beard, ? And I said, no. By the way, people, the Chris Beard thing was done for a week. I have that on relatively good authority that Chris Beard was a done deal with Texas for like the better part of a week. So this one is interesting, the North Carolina one. I mean, I think Wes Miller, I love Hubert Davis. I think that'd be a good hire. Wes Miller just seems like the natural choice, right? He was on their 05 championship team. He coaches at UNCG. He is born, I believe, in Greensboro, North Carolina. He coaches in Greensboro, North Carolina. He has won four straight 20-win seasons at UNCG. He understands the school he played at. This, I mean, that's a match made. And also, hey, he's young. I think it's a match made in heaven.
The he's young part is what the biggest deal is for me. You look at all these blue blood schools. Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky. They always Syracuse. Hire these guys that are there for 40 something years outside of like, you know, when Roy Williams switches or they bring in Bill Self at Kansas after that. A lot of what the coaches do. I mean, how long has Coach K been at Duke? How long? I mean, they brought
Syracuse,
in
Jim Boeheim,
same thing. They brought in John Calipari in his 30s to coach, at Kentucky. It's what all these schools do. It makes a ton of sense. He can go there, be there for 30 years, retire as North Carolina's head coach, having never left the state of North Carolina. It's going to work out great if he ends up being where they go, coming off a season where, you know, they won the SoCon championship and he had success. Isaiah Miller was a senior point guard, you know, like they had the big senior night deal where, you know, he's leaving. Wes Miller can leave without him. Earlier, they leave with him and feel like, you know, he put a period on the end of his time at UNC Greensboro. This is a match that seems so perfect. And the biggest point I think you made was the fact that he's 38, because those are the kind of guys they usually hire at jobs like this, the guys that are going to be there forever. So I like the idea of Wes Miller for sure.
Today's show is also sponsored by the best protein bar out there right now, Built Bar. Guys, go to builtbar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to receive 15% off on your next purchase at builtbar.com. And go check out their Twitter account right now, @bar_built. If you guys go there, you guys can vote on your favorite Built Bar. They're doing Built Bar Madness right now. They have a bracket set up, and you can go to Built Bar on Twitter. It's @bar_built, and go vote for your favorite. Check back each day to see who is winning. And then you guys, you know, try to push your favorite built bar to the top. Now, it's going to be difficult, but with your help, you can push your favorite built bar to the top. Once again, go to builtbar.com today. Use that promo code LOCKED15. You'll receive 15% off on your next purchase. All right, let's talk some Final Four. We've got some Final Four this weekend, obviously. You know, hey, like, we're talking about coaching moves right now. Let's actually talk about the actual Final Fours that are happening this weekend. Your first game in the Final Four. Well, I gotta pull it up because this thing is very slow. All right, we were on BetOnline, not the actual website, my computer. All right, your first game tomorrow at I believe, what is it, 5:15 Eastern time on CBS. Houston and Baylor. Baylor is a 5-point favorite right now in this game. Ken Pom projects to be a close game, maybe because their styles are the same, but I'm of the mind here that while Houston's athletic, and I do think they can keep it with Baylor because the styles are pretty similar, Baylor's just, in the end of the day, better at everything that Houston's good at. They're better at being tough. They are better at turning it on, right? You know, and they're also better at hitting timely shots. We've seen that time and time again. The number of timely shots they hit Wisconsin when they made their second half run. They hit a bunch of timely shots against Villanova, right? I mean, they pushed the ball in the paint. And then once, you know, Arkansas kind of made their late push, Macy Oteague had something to say with that dagger he hit the other night as well. So I think the timely shooting, and a lot of Houston's timely shooting comes from their offensive rebounding. That's not going to happen. While Baylor's undersized, like, you're going to have to go over top to get the boards, right? It's never about a lack of effort on the glass for Baylor. It's always about height. And I think of this game, Baylor, I think they win by 10 to 15.
Yeah, I think Baylor wins this game. Houston, a 5-point underdog. I think Baylor, like we said, I called, you know, they're Houston is, you know, Baylor light. Before you pay the 99 cents to get the full version of the app, that's Houston. Baylor, Houston 2.0, they do everything a little bit better. They have a little bit better players. I think Scott Drew is a little bit better than Houston. I actually live about, you know, 15 minutes away from where Scott Drew graduated from high school, the whole Bryce Drew, the whole Drew family, Indiana made. But I think Baylor wins. Davion Mitchell, so fast, gets in the paint. They're kind of identical in the way they rebound. I really like Baylor. I just think there's more shot making for Baylor. And Baylor, the only one of these two teams, I think, that has a chance to beat Gonzaga. I really like Baylor in this game just because of the matchup. I think Houston matches up well against teams that aren't like them. Baylor is basically playing a worse version of themselves. I like Baylor in this game.
Well, Houston beat back-to-back zones too. And once again, I say this all the time, but zones, if you overload a zone, you got two guys on one side, the one wing guy's got to box out. Can't box out two people, right? It's always a lot tougher to find box out assignments if you're not assigned to a certain man. And that's why I don't like zones on defense sometimes. I guess, I mean, and that's the one thing is, it wasn't like Houston was just out sniping teams out of the zone, right? I mean, or saving that game close. It's because Houston didn't make a ton of shots, but they were getting second and third chance opportunities. And I mean, you can only give so many of those before the dam breaks, right? I mean, you know, Quentin Grimes feels like he's hit some big shots, but go and look at his last two shooting games. It's not been very good.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't know that it's tough to, this is like when in NFL, and I'm not saying Houston didn't deserve to be here. They definitely deserve to be here. Anyone who, you know, comes this whole gauntlet, especially during COVID, deserves to be here. But this is like when a team is 5-1 in NFL season and hasn't played anybody, right? They played a bunch of last place teams, a couple teams with backup quarterbacks. Houston has not played a single digit seed at this point in the tournament. They went 15, 10, 11, 12 to get here. Like, that can't be understated that Baylor is going to be 9 times better than the next best team they played in this tournament, who is probably Syracuse. And I mean, Baylor's so much better than anyone Houston's played. I think Houston will be ready for sure. Kelvin Sampson's going to have those guys ready. Yeah. But
I think Baylor's getting disrespected as a favorite too.
They spent the entire season beating up on bad AAC teams. The top of the AAC was good. The Tulsas, Tulanes of the world in the AAC, absolutely horrible. Those are the teams that Houston just absolutely beat up on. And we're thinking, hey, they're going to get to the tournament and they're going to play real teams. Well, the one time that they tried to have, you know, against the non-zone that they should have lost. They were dead to rights with 3 minutes to go. And here they are all the way in the Final Four. So, I mean, I like Baylor. I think Baylor's a lot better than Houston. I I think Baylor should be like a 7 or 8 point favorite.
I think that honestly this line's like disrespectful. I also look at the ESPN matchup predictor right now. They give Baylor like a 52%. I know it's kind of just an analytical formula they use. 52.3% chance of winning. Like Houston also, there's not a lot of value there at plus 180, whatever it is, their money line right now, looking at a 185, plus 185 bet online. I mean, that's not a good enough value for me to take Houston.
Well, and so the thing with the ESPN calculator, I know a lot of people that are listening to this might watch that. So KenPom has a raw efficiency numbers and then adjusted efficiency numbers based on your competition. Houston's raw efficiency numbers are really good because they played a lot of horrible basketball teams this year. So that kind of plays into a lot of those algorithms and why Houston might be liked more on certain places like ESPN's matchup predictor, because Iowa State's bad. Tulane and company, right? The groups that are at the bottom of the AAC, absolutely awful. Those are the teams Houston beat by 98 points this season. They won the AAC championship game by like 36 points. Memphis probably belonged in the tournament. I'm not 100% sure. They might have won the NIT.
They did.
You know, they were in the NIT championship game. But outside the very top of this conference, the rest of it's garbage. That's where a lot of Houston's good peripheral numbers come from, is the competition they played. They're very good. They're a top 10 team in the country. But I think Baylor is like they're a top 2 team in the country. Quite obviously, they have been all season. I like Baylor to move on. I wouldn't say easily, because it's Final Four game and one of them has to be good, you'd think. But I'll take Baylor to move on to the championship.
Is Davion Mitchell like one of the best two-way players you've ever seen in college? I mean, what
one
he
of the
does
most underappreciated two-way players you've ever seen in college?
Well, the guy shoots the lights out, right? You can't stay in front of him. But here's the thing: is it doesn't feel like he's not. You know, he's a great shooter, and also he gets by everybody. But it doesn't feel like he's trying to press with his offense, right? He picks his spots offensively. It's why he's such a darn good offensive player, is that you're always worried about Davion, but he's not shooting every single time. And he's just been so efficient. And also on defense, he's just been an absolute – I mean, that charge block call, like, look, if we're going to letter of the law, that was a charge. You know, that foul, and he was in perfect positioning. He had the inside. The feet were set. And I think just because it happened on the perimeter, they called it the block. If that's near the rack, he's out to the the circle. That's charge every time, right?
Yeah, I mean for sure. Well, it's all about the amount of speed that the dribbler is building up as well. So, but yeah, anytime that happens out around the perimeter, they're going to call it a block because it just looks like the defender's too fast. The referee's eyes can't keep up.
Right.
And Davion Mitchell is just absolutely excellent. He is the straw that stirs the drink. Baylor's peripheral players. Now, I'm not calling Macy Oteague necessarily he plays 39 minutes. He's obviously not a guy that nobody talks
about.
He's
like their second leading scorer, but like
nobody
talks
about Macy Oteague.
It's hilarious.
And like, if he scores 30 against Houston, I don't think there's going to be too many people that are shocked that have watched Baylor all season. He is he's just absolutely excellent. Baylor has so many. I mean, there is not a weak spot on this team outside of,
And I love the way Flagler and Meyer have been playing off the bench too. They've been awesome off the bench lately.
Well, Michael Meyer's the guy that Matt Meyer is either he's the guy that's either like the best player on the worst possible team in college basketball, or like the dude with the awesome hair that comes off the bench for the team that might win the national championship. Well, he's the latter. It's so fun. They're so fun. We've been wanting Baylor Gonzaga all year. I think we get it. And it's going to be fun.
All right, let's go to the other game. UCLA and Gonzaga. So Gonzaga 14-point favorites here, according to Bet Online. I actually like UCLA plus the 14, and here's why. UCLA's pace, they play so slow. So if they limit possessions this game, I think there's a chance they can get it back to recover. Honestly, if Gonzaga goes up like 5-0 or 7-0, 10-0, calls, force timeout, bet the live line in this game. That's what I would definitely suggest. If you can go find the live line, get UCLA to come back and cover. I had UCLA the other night against Michigan. I love them in that spot. They're one of those teams that's got a lot of top end talent, actually. Like I don't think people give them enough credit. These kids, Juzang and I'm totally blanking on the guy's name. Obviously Tiger Campbell, Juzang, Jaime Jaquez. Yeah. These guys are top end talent. They're actually pretty high recruits and they're realizing their potential. Also people forget Chris Smith's not there. Their five-star guy lost at the beginning of the season. They have not had him in the new year. Mick Cronin deserves a lot of credit. Gonzaga is a machine right now, and I don't think UCLA gets smacked the way that USC does. I don't think it's a pillar to post. I don't think Gonzaga comes out and throws something at UCLA that Mick Cronin's not ready to face, because that's kind of the identity of the Mick Cronin team, right? Tough as hell, and there's nothing you're going to show us that's going to make us back down. And that's been a big, I mean, Corbett, that's been a theme for them in every single tournament game, right? Like, there's no backing down at any point.
I think this is going to be a team, this Gonzaga team, that people look back after the national championship game and they go, and I mean, there's been think pieces on this already, but they, like, are the greatest college basketball team I've ever seen. Like, Baylor would have been a national championship, like, not like 11 out of 12 years. And they're going to have to fight, claw, scratch, do everything they possibly can to stay within 10 of this Gonzaga team. UCLA, it's been a heck of a run. Like, they were trailing by 11 at halftime in the first. They were down by 7 with 90 seconds to go in the first four and ended up in the final four. Beneficial run. They caught a 14 seed Abilene Christian team who couldn't hit water if they fell out of a
boat. They blew them out, though.
They scored 47 points. They shot 29% from Texas, and that included a bunch of crazy layups that they made to keep.
Okay, but you can't get mad at Abilene. You can't get mad at UCLA for that.
I'm saying it was been a magical run, but luck only gets you so far, and so far is named Gonzaga. That's what's going on right here for UCLA. They then caught an Alabama team that missed a billion free throws. They then caught Michigan, who missed like their last 9 shots from the field to end the game. Johnny Juzang, 28 points. He's had a fantastic tournament. They got 0 bench points in that game against Michigan and won, which is a feat in and of itself. I hope they can keep it close. Gonzaga is one of those teams I'm going to root against every game all season long because I just want to see the favorite lose. But they're so good. And it's what sucks about these Gonzaga games is that they're 14-2 at the under 16 timeout and the game's over already. Let's hope UCLA gets into the second half. USC was a team everybody and their brother thought was going to hang with Gonzaga, and they immediately came out and got thrashed. I hope UCLA can hang around. I will not lose another dollar taking points against Gonzaga. You give me 25 points, I don't want them. This Gonzaga team is so ridiculously good. I still think they are underrated as much as that is possible. They're so much better than everyone else. They're going to beat the absolute breaks off UCLA. UCLA, I mean, like you said, a lot of top-end talent. Love Mick Cronin. But I just think Gonzaga is way too much for just about anybody.
All right, there you have it. Corbett, appreciate you giving me some time. We have some Final Four picks there, and we talk some coaching stuff. So it's always fun when we do that. Thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. Follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe.